Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with the Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Story number one.
Now, Nikola Jokic has 51 double-doubles. That leads the NBA by a mile. Jokic, pump fake, whirling dervish, basket counts, foul. Jokic underneath the basket and creates a little space and puts it up and in. Jokic, 4-3. Watch a good screen, set him up. Tillman goes all the way down.
An MVP moment. I don't know. Life's about a bunch of little moments. And I think Nikola's got around 56 moments this year where he's shown he's the MVP.
Is that true? Are you buying what Michael Malone is selling right there? That there have been basically too many MVP moments to count, and Jokic slam dunk should be the MVP.
Oh, yeah. Jokic is the MVP of the NBA. I don't even think it's going to really be a debate. Shoot. You know, that game last night was a great example of why he is the MVP. He put up 47 points, 15 rebounds. I know that that included a couple overtimes there, but it was a closer move in a big-time moment. You know what's really just kind of solidified it, in my opinion? Losing Jamal Murray and just seeing Jokic go out there and keep the Nuggets as a competitive basketball. They're not just competitive. They're winning games.
They're incredible.
You know, and they're doing it without Jamal Murray.
Winning game, a game last night they shouldn't have won.
Yeah, he's the MVP.
Ring it, Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Get that done.
Sounds like my wife. Mm-hmm. No response.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
You
dot.
Are
yes.
You are under the assumption that the 49ers have got multiple options, right?
I think they like more than one guy, yeah. And they're trying to figure it out, but they, one way or the other, they were going to take a quarterback and was probably one of a couple guys. Maybe three. Who knows?
You also are under the assumption that they have always included Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence as guys that they would include that they would take, right?
I don't know about Zach Wilson, but I think you'd be an idiot not to at least consider Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, but I mean, you would put that in the category of guys that
I think it's likely they would probably consider Zach Wilson, too.
I think I got you. I think it's all over. I think we can end the debate today.
What's that?
Kyle Shanahan. He's quoted in the ESPN article, and he said, we looked at the move up to three as we had to feel good that there were three guys that we were comfortable with leading our team for a long time.
Okay.
And we couldn't make that decision before there were three guys. So we had to feel that way with three.
Okay.
I think there's a chance that we're going to get that done. So when you hear that, in my opinion, I think he's counting Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and the third guy.
Well, hold on.
As the three guys.
What makes you so convinced it's Zach Wilson?
Because he's the clear-cut second quarterback in this year's draft.
That's not what
I
asked.
Not even debatable.
What gives you the impression that Kyle and the Niners thought, not what's obvious to you.
Well, because he's implying that there's two guys in front and he's taking the third. That's what he's implying. He's not saying that there's three leftovers. He said there had to be at least three guys in the draft that they like.
And they could easily say, we are convinced the Jets are taking Zach Wilson. He wasn't one of our three guys, so we're good.
No.
And that plays into the reason why they were at multiple pro days.
You're good at what you do. This is a nice little twist.
That makes sense.
If you can't read the logic in that, I don't know what you're going
to
read.
If you can't read the logic in them going to multiple pro days, I'm not sure what to say. Why bother?
Really?
Who are you fooling? Why are you doing it?
Did he just say that they're looking at three more guys, or there were only three guys in the draft?
You can believe whatever.
He said there were three guys in the draft.
I get it, but you're assuming one of those guys was Zach Wilson. He might not have been. Unless you can tell me a reason why you think Zach Wilson.
I can't tell you a guy that he would have rated higher than Zach Wilson.
Did the Niners go to, and maybe they did because I don't know, but did they go to the BYU Pro Day? Have they expressed interest in Zach Wilson before?
I don't know.
See, here's what happened.
Did they go to Trevor Lawrence's? I don't know.
Well, that doesn't.
Why would that not matter for Trevor Lawrence, but it doesn't matter for Zach Wilson?
First of all, Zach Wilson had one of the earlier Pro Days. Trevor Lawrence had it before he had surgery, so it was forever ago. But at the Zach Wilson Pro Day, the representation of the Jets was overwhelming. It was overwhelming.
Okay.
I mean, you'd be an idiot not to realize what they
really
were doing.
Are you really fighting this that hard? I thought this was like done. Case closed. Shut the door.
Well,
it's
all
right. Over. Listen, there were three guys that they were interested in.
And Zach Wilson was definitely one of them.
Yeah.
There's no possibility they were interested in Trey Lance. and
ahead
Justin
of Zach
Fields.
Wilson?
Ahead of Zach Wilson. Really? There's no possibility.
There's not a team in the NFL right now that feels that way.
I don't know what to say. If you're so convinced of it, fine. But I am I will be dying to know, and hopefully somebody finds out who the other guy was.
See, now
and
I'm maybe arguing you're right. with the right person.
Maybe you're right.
Now the world is back.
All right, fine. Ring it. I'm watching a video of Albert Okwuegbunam.
Case closed.
Running a sprint inside the Broncos facility.
Okay.
One, cool to see that Albert O is feeling better. And his ACL, I mean, he looks pretty good. He's wearing a brace, but he looks all right. Probably not 100%, but he looks all right. The second point is this is coming from the Broncos facility today. And Albert O is posting it. He posted it on his own Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
My point being, I guess the drama with not showing up at workouts is really done. Because
hold on, is he a rehab guy?
Well, obviously, yeah.
I mean, that's my point.
Yeah, so
that doesn't mean anything. All the rehab guys are going to be there.
My point is, all right, I'll ask a bigger question. Do you find any steam at all in the protest thing today on what would have been day two? I don't hear anybody talking about it. I don't see it being that big of a deal. I don't feel any vibe from it whatsoever.
Well, it's always been a half boycott, so not arguing that at all. I mean, they're half in. The guys that need it to make money, they're going. The guys that need to go there for rehab, they're going. Younger guys that want to go, they're allowed to go. For sure, it's always been a half boycott. But go ahead and ring it, and I'll just tie this into my next one.
I was going to ask my question then, based on
that. Oh, I thought that was your question.
No, Mike.
I mean, you can't have two questions. There's only one question.
Assuming it wasn't going, it wasn't that strong. My question is, do you think it'll evolve to the point where it just kind of withers away and more guys will just be kind of casually showing up?
Yeah, I mean, over time, it will go in that direction for sure. I don't think we're as close as you think, though. You know what? I'll just bring it. You don't have to ring it. Here's my next story.
Ring it.
Well, you're talking about this like this is like dead in the water and it's over because you're looking at a video of a rehab guy that's running on the field right now. And like I said, I agree with you. It's a half boycott and it's a dumb boycott. But we just found out today the Tennessee Titans are joining in. They will not be attending the offseason. We now have 21 of 32 teams. There's only 11 teams left that are going to OTAs at this point. And there's a lot of those teams haven't had to report yet. So we might hear that it's more and more. So I was actually going to ask the complete opposite question of you. When you hear that it's now up to 21, there's only 11 teams left. I was going to ask you, does that make you feel like there's more legs to it?
I don't think there's more legs. I think every team will be more or less in the same place. I think it's a symbolic protest at the most. It means almost nothing except as a positioning tool for the NFLPA to just get rid of this phase completely in the future. That's it. Mm-hmm. So I think the COVID stuff was a bunch of crap. I think it was a lame excuse. It wasn't what it was all about, and they just used it. I don't think it was very legit. I think there was enough reasons that you could pretend that it was legit, but I don't think that's what this was all about at all. And all this does, in my opinion, is set up a precedent to get rid of phase one of the OTAs completely in the future.
I pretty much agree with everything you just said. The only thing that I would add to it is that I actually think that there are more legs to it. It will break. You're right. The guys will start coming to work. However, now that it's up to 21 teams, I don't think any real movement's going to happen until after phase one's over. And then after phase one, you'll see the guys start to show up.
It'll be interesting. And then phase one now doesn't go for 2 weeks. It goes for a month.
Correct.
So
I mean, I think we're looking at a month period here where we're going to have 21 teams or more that are going to be opted out.
I think at the end of the day, it'll be more. I didn't know other teams hadn't started yet, by the way. So, yeah, I think you're probably right. It probably will be more, but nobody's really going to care. It's one of the weirdest, weakest protests of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So because the workouts have always, I guess what it does, it does provide cover for guys who really just don't want to be at the facility and never really wanted to be there. So now the pressure's off of them. And as long as you attend things virtually that you are allowed to do, Tyler, see, that would be bad if, like, you were at home and you just you didn't even want to get on the Zoom call with your teammates. But I can't imagine many guys would do that. I mean, it's just about staying at home, I think.
By the way, thank you, text line. The 49ers were at Zach Wilson's pro day when they made the trade to move up to number three.
All right. Okay. Hey, all right. So when it comes out, we'll find out 100% that it was Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, and whoever they selected.
No, of course we'll never find that out 100%.
All right, ring it. Well, I'll ask Cecil later.
Yeah, he'll know.
The Buffalo Bills say, we're going to get it done with Josh Allen. There's no rush. There's no doubt that he wants to be here and we want to have him. They're talking about what will end up being a monster deal for Josh Allen. Let me ask you this. Will Josh Allen get a deal that eclipses Patrick Mahomes' deal?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
No, oh, okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it he will. Because he's going to be the next guy up. Simple as that. The next man up gets the next biggest deal every single year. Year in, year out. The number one free agent at his position will always, until the NFL stops making more money, which that has never happened, year after year they make more and more money. So the next guy up will always make more money.
Will Lamar Jackson get a bigger deal than Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
He will too. Who will get a bigger
deal? Well, oh, because Lamar's probably up quicker, right? Josh Fields.
No, same year. Josh and Lamar, same exact year.
But I thought they were already talking about, like, they were already in negotiations.
Apparently, but I mean, they're both in the same draft class. They're both first rounders. Everything's the same as far as that goes.
Okay, I might be wrong. I thought Lamar was already close to a deal.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he is.
I might be off on that. But
you're saying whoever signs the deal last will get the highest deal.
Yes, that's
so
what I'm
saying. Theoretically, Lamar will get a better deal than Patrick Mahomes, and then if Allen goes later, he'll get a better deal than Lamar.
Yeah, and of course, when we say better deal, well, what does that really mean?
I don't know.
Well,
it's a lot of money.
I can tell you exactly what it really means. How much money did you get in the first 3 years? That's what it really means.
Well, Mahomes has 140 guaranteed for injury.
Mm-hmm. How much did he get in the first 3 years?
I think I'd have to check, but I think what he gets guaranteed for injury is what he would make in the first, I want to say 5 years.
That sounds right.
So to me, when I looked at his deal, it was like, this is really, no matter what, a 5-year, $140 million deal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, you could argue that Dak Prescott got a better deal than Patrick Mahomes.
You could. And when we look at Mahomes' deal, like, he has that crazy escalator in, like, year 6 where he's making $60 million.
Right, right.
Where we're like, will he really make that? And you know what? In 6 years, who knows what the quarterback, who knows what the you know, salary cap's going to be? I mean, maybe he does. Seems silly, though, right? 60, well, gee, who knows what happens in 6 years? Ring it, Richie.
Well, we've got some interesting reports today that apparently, we talked about the Dolphins yesterday, that the Dolphins might be interested in moving back after they already moved back into the top 10. So that's one team you might be able to trade up with. The team that has popped up today, though, is the Carolina Panthers. Apparently, they're interested in moving back. All right, so there's two teams right there that, if it's true that they want to move back, you can make a move to go get a quarterback. If we don't make that move at this point, knowing that you've got maybe 3 landing spots to move up, what does that say if you don't get aggressive to go get the quarterback?
I'd be disappointed if that's who you really wanted. It would show that George Payton's a little gun-shy. Or they really didn't want to take a quarterback at all.
Or he's calculated. I mean, gunshot and calculated aren't the same.
It's a risk. I mean, if you can really read the room that well and you really want a quarterback and you read the room that well that the one you want falls to you, hey, man, I bow down.
Well,
that's pretty amazing.
I mean, I just look at it like you've now got 2, maybe 3 legitimate opportunities to move up. Like, those are pretty legit scenarios that you could go trade with them. So if you want a quarterback, I think it's more and more doable every day.
Ring it, Richie. Wrap it up. Yeah, here's Ian Rappaport from earlier today.
If the Miami Dolphins at 6 like who's there, let's say it's Kyle Pitts falls to them at 6, they would have a hard time, I would imagine, just based on my knowledge, trading out of taking Kyle Pitts. And probably for a lot of people, he might be everyone's favorite player in the draft, not named Trevor Lawrence. But let's say there's a couple quarterbacks there, and Kyle Pitts is gone. Then what the Dolphins did is they had the 49ers pay them a premium for a quarterback early. Now they might get someone to pay a premium for a quarterback again. So they might actually benefit from 2 teams trading up for a quarterback, get more picks, more ammo, and still stay within that area where they could get a premium player. That's why the Dolphins wanted to trade back to 6, so they could still be in the mix.
Okay. A lot of action to come. Can't wait till our draft coverage is going to be awesome. Everybody's involved from the station. It'll be a fun. It's always the, to me, it's the highlight of the whole year. And I can't wait. Can't wait. There's going to be a lot of drama time.
I see. Now you just exposed yourself as not a real football guy. You just said it was your favorite time of the year.
It is.
That's always, that's how I know the real football guys versus the non-football guys.
Why is that?
The non-football guys love the offseason. They love talking about the draft, about who you could get in free agency.
Yeah.
Football guys love football. That's the best time of the year.
You think week three is more exciting than what's coming up with the draft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. I love this time. Maybe I'm not a real football guy then. I mean, to me, this is everything.
Oh, you're a drama guy.
I'm definitely a drama guy.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. I'm a drama guy.
No, don't. These things are settled. Things are in a good place.
Look at the NFL people. You want to talk about drama guys. You got people pretending and acting and putting out false information. Those are the drama guys.
Right. Who was it? Was it Tannehill? There was a former GM recently. Scott Pioli. That's who it was. Scott Pioli was talking about all the, he called it misinformation. He didn't want to call it lies. He didn't want to call it anything other than just misinformation. But he would talk about how they would game plan the misinformation that they would intentionally leak to the media.
There you go.
So,
I love it.
They would have meetings about how are we going to deflect and how are we going to try to mess up somebody else's draft. And
awesome.
They would intentionally plan the information that they're leaking.
That's awesome. Fun stuff.
It is fun. Oh, of course I love the draft.
Oh, it's the best. If you screw it up, it can...
It's the worst day of the year for 8 years of my life, though.
Why?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, because you're...
Just sitting there every day?
Who's going to replace
every year?
Me?
Oh, please don't draft my replacement. Please don't draft a tackle. Don't draft a You always draft a tackle.
When you were in Seattle, did they draft a tackle?
No.
When
not,
you were,
not that I recall.
Were you in Washington, did they draft a tackle?
Morgan Moses.
I see you still remember.
Of course. That was actually a moment in my career that I'm pretty proud of, though. He was a second rounder.
Oh, hello.
And I think, let me double check that.
And you were a starter.
I was. And he was definitely drafted to be my replacement without a doubt, a third rounder. So drafted in the third round, absolutely was drafted because I was a fringe. I was Drew Lock. I was a fringe guy. I had my starting spot. If they could replace me, they would. Certainly they would like to get better play at that point.
Had Shanny been fired by that point?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my guy was gone. Okay. I didn't have the protection anymore, right?
Right,
But I was proud of that year because I held him off for it. I only held him off for a year, but I held him off for a year, held on to that starting job, and I felt pretty good about that, knowing that they drafted this guy to replace me, and he couldn't pull it off, at least not in year one.
Why were you better than him in year one?
Oh, I was the ultimate just trust guy. I was the guy that every coach knew that he could trust. I don't have to worry about Tyler. He's not going to mess up the assignments.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get beat a handful of times per game. We know that. We will live with that because he's the least of our concerns. We don't have to put any effort into him. We don't need any extra time in the film room, no extra time upstairs.
And they want to win.
And they want to win again. I mean, I was just the trustworthy guy. I mean, did he have more talent than me? Of course. I mean, his arms were like 6 inches longer than mine. He weighed like 60 pounds more than me, and he probably ran a faster 40.
But it gave you an extra year in the NFL.
Sure.
I mean, you had more than that, but I mean, it gave you that year.
I mean, the greatest compliment I ever got in my career, and I still saved this text. I won't say the coach's name on air, but I was playing, I believe it was 2013, and I was playing out in Washington, and I received a text from the opponent's offensive line coach after the game.
Okay.
And he said, "Hey, man, you hardly know me. I never interviewed you, but I got your number from your agent. And I wanted you to know that I show your film to my guys.
There you go.
In my opinion, you're the greatest technician in this league. It's not a secret that you, he said this, and I wasn't offended. He said, it's not a secret that you don't have the talent of some of these other guys, but in my opinion, you're the greatest technician in the game.
Wow, what a compliment.
It was the greatest text message I've ever received. That's why I held on to the job.
Think Drew Lock's putting that time in right now?
I do.
Think Drew Lock's trying to kind of make that case?
Yeah, I do. I think Drew Lock is putting effort in. I mean,
can trust me. I can. I'm a different guy here. I'm a different guy than
well,
you've known before.
I mean, there's two different ways to look at that. I mean, are you putting in the effort or do the results show up on the field? Like, for Drew Lock to, for the coaches to trust him the way that my coaches trusted me,
mm-hmm.
they would have to know that he's not going to throw 15 interceptions.
Right.
Right? It has to translate onto the field because interceptions are mental mistakes. Those aren't physical mistakes. Those are mental. The majority of them. A handful, you got a bad arm angle, the ball slips out. That's a physical mistake. But if you misidentify the defense and you throw the ball where you should not throw it, that's a mental mistake. That's the equivalent of me running two jet on three jet and leaving the widest guy free open to hit the quarterback.
There's no way Drew Lock wasn't going to be at practice or at the facility yesterday, or today, tomorrow,
he
or
made the right decision.
Whenever he did make he absolutely made the right decision. He did, and I bet it wasn't easy. If it was easy, he would have just said it. He wouldn't have said, "I'll let my actions talk for me" or whatever. I don't think he probably knew that Dalton and Graham had just flat out said we're going to be there. Had Drew known that, maybe he would have been more declarative. But yeah, he did make the right decision. This is tricky, man, because this isn't like Paxton Lynch. Like, at this point in Paxton Lynch's career, we just were done with him. We just knew he wasn't the right guy. I can't sit here and tell you Drew Lock couldn't possibly be the right guy, Tyler. I can't do that.
No. I'm not calling Drew Lock a bust by any means.
Neither am I.
And that's not what the coaches or the GMs are implying when they go out and search for your replacement. They're not saying you can't be successful in the NFL. All they're saying is it's my job to try to get better at every position every year.
That's it.
And I personally view you as a guy that I can get better at that position this year.
And, you know, Drew just has not done enough to completely trust him. He's trying, though. He's trying. And he's we would all be better off if it works out, that's for sure. Nobody's mad or doesn't like Drew Lock. Paxton was a disaster at this point. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But, hey, man, the Broncos are spending a ton of time going over all this, and they're not the only ones. We'll dig into that. Plus, Nikola Jokic should be the MVP, period. So why today were other guys getting hyped up so much? That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Man.
Hi, well, tonight the Avalanche were supposed to play the Blues, but that got COVID interrupted. The Rockies and Astros bump on your garbage can gets going here in a few minutes. But there you go. It's curveball. There you go, Astros. So you know what's up. What happened, though, at Ball Arena last night with the Nuggets, again, it was remarkable.
It was, yeah.
It is amazing.
You know, they should have lost that game about 15 times over and just kept clawing and fighting and scratching their way back into it. Got into overtime, went to double overtime, and it was quite the game.
There's no way they should have won that game.
No, definitely not.
And it's I'm watching, boy, what an amazing talent Ja Morant is for the Grizzlies. And
this was your fault. You went all jinxy cat on it yesterday. Like, oh, I thought I was tossing up a softball on this one. Oh, they're going to crush him.
Well, I didn't know much about them. They're a tough team, man. They're a super tough team. And they have a lot of good things to come. But there is something about a superstar. And I'm talking about Jokic.
Sure.
And I think, and listen, Steph Curry is playing amazing right now. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's going to be an interesting debate between him and Jokic. I think Embiid is.
Embiid is still in that conversation on the national stage for sure. I mean, Steph is the hot hand. You know what he's done in the last four or five games has just been insane. So he's going to be the one that Jokic is going to have to hold off. But I do think just from name value, You can't discount Embiid from national voters.
What do you think it comes down to at the end of the day for an MVP?
I think wins and losses matter. I do. You know, and so you got to be on a good basketball team. You clearly have to be the best player on a good basketball team. And then you got to have a couple defining games. Like, you know, that's not for like what Curry is doing. You can tangibly feel that much more than you can Jokic's day-to-day presence. When he's not going for 30, when he's not going for 40, you can't necessarily tangibly look at the stat line and feel Jokic's presence like you can some of these other guys because those freak numbers. So I guess that's the only thing that concerns me a little bit. I mean, look, Jokic is out in front for sure. He is definitely the lead dog in the MVP race, but I could see, you know, when Steph goes out there and makes noise like this, that, oh man, would it shock me if he got passed over? I guess not entirely.
At the end of the day, who would you rather have with the ball in their hands, Jokic or Steph Curry?
Oh, wow.
I mean, last night was a great example.
Oh man,
the game is on the line. Who would you rather have the ball in their hands, Jokic or Steph Curry?
Wow, I get it. Wow, am I going to get hated on if I say Steph?
No, not at all. I mean, Curry.
I mean, he's a shooter. He's a scorer. He wants it. He's going to shoot from downtown. He's going to find a way to just, you know, hit the spot three or you know, hit the step back, whatever it might be. You know, Jokic to me is so much more than just a scorer.
But
that's what you are looking for when the game is on the line, is the true scorer, right? So I guess if you're asking me who I'd rather have when the game is on the line.
You're looking for the guy who's going to make the right decision. And scoring.
I don't know about that. See, I think that's the guy you want for the majority of the game. But when you're down to the last 30 seconds, you want the scorer. You want the guy that's going to create it.
If the game came down to a 3-point bucket, I'd take Steph Curry.
Sure.
Of course. But what if it didn't come down to a 3-point bucket? What if it was to tie the game down by two or to win the game if you're down by one?
Yeah, I get it.
And yep. Yeah, okay, if you need a three, all right, fine. You're not going to argue. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But or the game is tied. How about that? The game is tied and you get a last shot. Who do you want with the ball in their hands?
I don't like this question because I think that Steph is the true scorer in this situation. I worry about Jokic sometimes. Not this year. He's clearly proven me and any doubters wrong. I mean, he is a scorer for sure, but is he a scorer first? And I think that's what you need when the game's on the line.
I just think there's more things Jokic can do. That's all. To not disrespect Steph Curry at all.
No,
but if you throw a double team or something out on Steph Curry, I don't know if he's going to make the right pass or make that long shot. Whereas, I don't, you know, you get the ball down low to Jokic, it's his world. I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop him.
You know, I can't think of very many guys outside of Jokic that I would want to start a franchise with. If you had to start a franchise from scratch, Jokic is absolutely your dream player. He does it all. He's not selfish. He wants to get everybody involved. He's a great scorer when he needs to be. He's as well-rounded as you could possibly get. You know, but at the end of the day, does he have that absolute killer instinct like some of the all-time greats like LeBron and KD and some of them have had? I don't think he's got that score instinct at the end of the game like some of these other greats have. Look, I'm going to come across the biggest hater right now. Text line's on fire. They all hate me. I get it. I mean, you can't say anything. I'm not saying anything bad. I love Jokic. He's the MVP. You're just asking me a question and I'm answering that at the end of the game, who do I think you're better off with the ball in their hands? I think a true scorer.
Well, we're having a, you know, first world conversation here because...
Look at you trying to make me the bad guy right now.
I didn't know where you were going to go. That's why I'm asking the questions. To me, Jokic just can do crazy things from anywhere on the floor, including, you know, make passes and just create plays that I think he's taken a step up. You know, the crazy thing is Jokic is only 26. I mean, it's insane to think that he's that young, whereas Steph Curry's 33.
Right, right.
So who knows what the ceiling is for Jokic. I know in the past for the Nuggets, especially with like Carmelo, one of the frustrations is, you know, there's more in him that's not coming out. Like, what he needs to do more. There's more there. Of course, he's talented, but there's more there. What's amazing to me about Jokic is not only may there be more there, but he continues to find ways to bust through the ceiling time after time after time.
Oh, couldn't agree more. Yeah, and I firmly believe that in 2 years' time, Jokic is going to continue to be a much better player. Year after year, he will get better. And, you know, he will be far and away the best player in the league in a couple years' time.
It makes it...
He already is. I just mean in a couple years' time, it's going to be that much more obvious.
It'll be interesting what it ultimately comes down to in terms of the MVP vote. But I'm just awestruck by what we get to watch or read about with Jokic, game after game after game. And listen, man, as devastating as the Jamal Murray injury is, and it is devastating, it has been equally impressive to see the way the Nuggets have moved forward.
Sure.
It's remarkable. So keep on going. Hopefully the Avs get healthy here quick. They get going, and the Rockies game is about to start. And
I feel more hopeful about the playoffs. I still don't feel like it's like they can go out and beat the Lakers right now, but I feel like it's going to be a competitive matchup.
We'll talk ourselves into ways that they can beat the Lakers eventually.
Yeah, I'll get there.
We'll be like, Lakers had, you know, Davis, LeBron had too much time off. They're getting too old. They've played too many games. We'll find a way. We'll find a way. Meanwhile, today's kind of all been about Trey Lance. Wow. Are we wrapping our heads around the Broncos and Trey Lance? Details next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Hi, Tyler. Today feels like it's been Trey Lance Day, and he's probably the quarterback. I think we both have our hesitations about him, not because of who he is or who he could be, but just who the Broncos are right now.
Yep.
But today was an interesting day where all of a sudden there was a lot of hype about Trey Lance with the Broncos.
Well, you say hype, and at the same time, it's a little bit of a fall for Trey Lance. We have had a very weird cycle, although this is a completely normal cycle where you've got a guy who is high 3 months ago, then he falls off the board. You've got the Baker Mayfields that show up out of nowhere, the Kyler Murrays that show up out of nowhere. They go at the very top. Justin Fields 6 months ago was a bona fide guaranteed number two overall selection. Then he was falling big time. It was like, oh, is he going to be there at 9? Is he going to be there at 15 for the Patriots? Now it feels like him and Trey Lance are flipping again. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's where the momentum is feeling of the week. You never know what to believe at this point in the season. Everybody's got a motivation to put out information about these players. Everybody. So I don't know that I've got a true vibe on what's really going on, but I will say that, yeah, you're right. The vibe of the day is that Trey Lance is going to go a little bit closer to what we originally thought, and so is Justin Fields, meaning Justin Fields will be higher and Trey Lance will be lower.
Okay. Let's wrap our heads a little bit around Trey Lance then.
Good.
Okay. If we just reimagine Trey Lance, maybe I'll start here. The biggest hesitation we have about him with the Broncos is what?
Scheme fit and longevity is the biggest deal for me. You know, Trey Lance is a boomer bust project that requires the right coordinator that will redevelop his system for Trey Lance.
And what's bad about Pat Shurmur with that?
Well, could Trey Lance come in and fit into a Pat Shurmur offense? Not really. I mean, Trey Lance is not going to be a five wide type of guy. That's not going to be his deal at all. You need to design a running first quarterback that all your play action comes off of those runs. And when you've got a running quarterback, that's the most effective tool in all of football, because you've got 11 on 11 football. That's what it is. The X's and O's, they finally match up. Normally, it's 10 versus 11 because your quarterback doesn't count. You get that quarterback as a runner, it's one hell of a tool. Pat Shurmur does not have the offense today that would be required for Trey Lance. Could Pat Shurmur develop an offense? Maybe, I guess, in theory. The problem is, I don't know if Pat Shurmur is going to be here in 6 months' time. I don't know if he's going to be here in a year's time, yet alone 2 years' time. And that's what you need for Trey Lance. You need some longevity and consistency.
All right, well, let me just go down a road then. So say they do take Trey Lance. Pat Shurmur would realize at this point, well, one particular system, maybe what I'm most comfortable with, wouldn't work here. But that wouldn't really work with Drew Lock either. And now that we're so far down this road, the likelihood of some impactful veteran quarterback coming in here, it doesn't seem all that likely. It does feel like we are down to Drew Lock and whoever. you know, albeit...
Well, you're down to the three options that we've had for a couple weeks, and that's Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles, and, oh, who's the third in there?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Thank you, Teddy B, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe something goes down that road, but it feels so much more like it's Drew Lock and drafted quarterback, whoever that's going to be.
I don't feel that. I don't feel like it's going to be a drafted quarterback.
What if it is Trey Lance? You getting rid of Drew Lock?
No, because Trey Lance is going to take some time to develop, and he's not going to come out the gates looking better than Drew Lock.
But
I wouldn't get rid of Drew Lock for anybody I drafted. I mean, you would have a fantastic backup quarterback on your team that's young, that's cheap. That's a great option to have Drew Lock around. Here's the deeper problem with Trey Lance. You got to go to Pat Shurmur, and you got to say, okay, what's Pat Shurmur's goals right now? Seriously, what's Pat Shurmur's life goal at this point?
Score points.
Really?
I don't know.
He wants to be a head coach again. You don't think he wants to get out of Dodge, move back up in the ranks?
Yeah, of course.
How do you do that?
Winning games.
Score points. And how many opportunities is he going to have another year of bad offense and still be considered a legitimate head coach candidate?
Zero. Not long. Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
None. Pat Shurmur has to win right away. So if you select Trey Lance, guess how much time Pat Shurmur is putting into developing Trey Lance or designing a system for Trey Lance? Zero. Mm. None. He's not interested. He's trying to get back to the next level. He's trying to become the next coordinator of whomever. I know he's a coordinator here, but I'm just saying at the end of the day, he was a head coach just a year ago, and I would imagine that he wants to be a head coach again.
Well, who would he be designing an offensive for to be a head coach?
He wouldn't
coach
be
again?
Designing an offense for anybody. He'd be running his offense. That's why Trey Lance isn't the right fit for Pat Shurmur.
So who would be the right fit for Pat Shurmur?
At this point, I don't care about Pat Shurmur.
All right. So is Pat Shurmur in trouble with the Broncos no matter what then?
No. No, and neither is Vic Fangio. They're both on a one-year deal that if they go out there and have success, they could get another year for sure. I mean, you go out and you play 500 football or better, I would be shocked if anybody was really getting fired in this building. Just my only point is Trey Lance takes a coordinator that is going to take the time to develop the system for him. Pat Shurmur's not going to take that time to develop that system for him because Trey Lance is a 2 to 3 year project. Pat Shurmur, if he wants to become a head coach again, he can't fail for another year or two. He will never be considered for a head coach job again. I doubt if he has anyways, but I'm sure in his mind he wants to be.
All right, so Pat Shurmur has been on the road to Columbus, Ohio State, and up in Fargo to North Dakota State. He's come back. He's now in the meeting room. What's he saying? What's he saying about the quarterback that if he had to advocate for Justin Fields or Trey Lance, what's he saying?
Well, he'd be asking for Mac Jones. That's
what he'd be coming back with?
Yeah, that's what Pat Shurmur would want.
I've seen them all. It's Mac Jones.
Well, for a number of different reasons. Of all the quarterbacks, which one fits a Pat Shurmur offense? Mac Jones, by far. It's not even close. Not even close. He could be a 5-wide shotgun guy all day long, play within the confines of the pocket. You don't have to run around, do any of those things. And on top of that, he is by far the most game-ready plug-and-play. If you need a guy to play this year and win games, it's Mac Jones. That's the guy.
You know what's fun, too, is that George Payton has seen pro days of all those guys, too.
Yeah.
So Shermer's seen them, and so has because, right? Yeah, because Payton was at North Dakota for round one, and he was at...
He was at Justin Fields.
He was at Justin Fields, and he was in Alabama.
Was he at Alabama?
Yeah. And so was... Hold on.
I thought he skipped Alabama.
That's right. He did skip Alabama.
Yes.
He did.
Because he went to Justin Fields.
That's right. And he wasn't at the first Alabama game because I think it was Justin Simmons was signed or there was something else like that.
No, he went to like some random school on the first one.
No, he was back here for sure because of some sort of conflict.
Sure.
So you're right. He actually did not go to Alabama.
Right.
Oh, that's a tricky sell then. You know, because he wouldn't have seen Mac Jones in person the same as Pat Shurmur.
Well, I hope the Broncos don't draft Mac Jones. That's not the guy that I want. All that I was answering was who Pat Shurmur would want. And, you know, at the end of the day, George Payton shouldn't be selecting quarterback for Pat Shurmur anyways. He should be selecting the best quarterback for the next 6 years for the Denver Broncos because that's how long George Payton's going to be here.
Well, I'm just saying that's an interesting one. If Pat Shurmur got up there, my guy's Mac Jones.
Right, right.
And Payton's like,
I don't think so.
Not so much. Okay, well, listen, it's kind of Trey Lance Day. We'll see what Nick and Cecil have to say about it. They're coming up next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.